According to the fullness of times, of the word, the testimony, the covenants, and the cleansings, God has given his servants and prophets meals to serve his people, that darkness in men might be destroyed. Behold, the Lord's table is laden with meals to build a generation of overcomers. From this table comes the ministration of grace from God's servant. Listen and be blessed.
Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for all you have done from the beginning of this campaign until now. Thank you because of how you have blessed us mightily through your servants. Thank you again for bringing our Father, who will be a blessing again to us today. Lord, that this few minutes where we will just be preparing our hearts to receive again from your throne, that you will help us, Lord Jesus. I hide under the authority of your servants, and I ask, Lord, that you will help me to be an addition, and hearts truly will be prepared and ready. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord is helping us as a church because when we become born again, we have so many, many denominations, so many school of thoughts. We have so many seminaries. And people spend time arguing and different school of thoughts about what certain things might mean in the Bible. One of them particularly is about whether we have received all that we ought to receive the moment we become born again. And some people emphasize that the Bible makes it clear that the moment we become born again, we have life everlasting and we have everything that we really need. But when we consider the scriptures carefully and look at it from all angles, and especially with the eyes of the apostles who wrote the epistles to the church, not to unbelievers. I think people need to remember that the epistles were not written to unbelievers. They were always written to the church. I think one of the things that when the eyes of my understanding began to open, the Lord would tell me, he would tell me, read the first two verses of the epistle. He said, if you don't qualify, you will struggle to understand the rest of it. That was when the Lord began to, you know, he would say things like, when he writes to brethren, say, if you are not part of the brethren company, you are just having a peep into what brethren might be sharing, but you are not really understanding because you are not part of them. Amen? So when you now read the scriptures with those lenses, you take a more humble approach when you read the scriptures. You ask God for more mercy and meekness, and you are open to seeing other perspectives, even if you may have been taught by pastors who may have taught you with all sincerity, but may not necessarily have grasped truth accurately as they should. Amen? So we need mercy to know that some of our pastors, some of them who have had great work in church in this nation, they had dealings that for a lot of us now with maturity we know represent some of the things that the Lord has helped us understand doctrinally. It doesn't necessarily mean that just because they don't understand doctrine that they don't have a walk with God and that we should not honor them. In fact, I like the way, I remember the first time I was in London, Daddy was, Reverend Kayode was in one of our houses, just in shorts, chilling. And he saw a Bible that was forwarded by Papa Kenneth Copeland. You need to see the way Reverend grabbed that Bible from us. It was as if he had seen a treasure or like a toy that he has been looking for. The way he grabbed the Bible. Oh my God. Oh, I was just looking at him like, this was still my early days, I didn't understand honor. Those were the days when you just feel that your father has the biggest farm, you know, so everything my father says is correct, nothing, you know, that kind of thing. So I was like, Reverend, what's up? What's all this honoring? I don't tell more anything. You know, I didn't know that Reverend was showing me a pattern and modeling a life before me of honoring fathers. So just because fathers may not have understanding of doctrine does not in any way reduce the dealings that God has put them through with when it comes to appropriating life to them. Okay? So we need to be very careful of this. And as we continue to grow, we will begin to see patterns of how God is helping our hearts to be ready for allocations of life and more life and more life and more life that is bringing our way. Amen? Amen. Now let's look at Revelation 3. Jesus was writing to the church, not to unbelievers. The Bible tells us straight away the letters was to church. It was writing to the angel of the church. It was writing to the church. Tell your neighbor, it was writing to the church. He wasn't writing to unbelievers, okay? The Lord was writing to the church. And this is the very last verse of Revelation 3. This was to the church, the Laodicean church. Amen? Amen? And he would say, to him that overcometh. Did you see that? To him that what? Is the Lord writing to unbelievers there? He's writing to the church. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. So if you see something or your interpretation of the scriptures in other places makes it look as if you already sat in the heavens, and now you're seeing the Lord himself telling you, I think you need to consider, maybe I did not quite understand fully what the Lord was saying. It may be perhaps, is the Lord referring to how a father will speak to his child who is not yet grown and doesn't yet have stature to commit things to him? You know, the Bible will say a child, as long as he remains a child, is no different from a servant. No different from a servant. You know, my father owned companies and he had staff that were working for him. And when I go and greet my father in the office, all of them will stand up as if I'm the owner of the company. And I was only a teenager. You know, but they were saying it in jest. As soon as I come in, they will just stand up. Small Oga. Yeah. Now, the fact that they are calling me Oga, even though they are saying it in jest and calling me Small Oga, I don't understand anything about the company. If it comes to running the company, they are more equipped than I am. I might be feeding from there. I might have my name as a director in the company. But I have no understanding of how to run things. I can't participate. I can't rule. I'm no judge. I have no authority. Even though in name, everyone knows that the company ought to belong to him. But I have no capacity to handle such matters yet. Amen? So we need to understand that the moment we become Christians, there is overcoming to be done. And overcoming is something that will come as we grow and increase in revelation and the allocation of food that heaven is pouring to us. Every level we take, there's overcoming that has to be done. Amen? You know, Reverend Henry was talking about how if we eat milk well, there is overcoming that can be done at that level. There are things that can fall off. There are natures that can fall off just because you've had good milk. You can learn to honor the saints. You can learn to love all saints. You know, I was listening to a conference that happened at the beginning of the year. And lots of fathers of the faith were teaching in that conference. And one of them was trying to explain the kingdom. And he was talking about how in his church, before they do any project in the church, he has told all the departments that there is a set allocation that must go to help persecuted widows and families in the north. And as far as he was concerned, that was his understanding of kingdom. And I said, that is beautiful love of the saints that some people have not even come into. Some people cannot stand other members of church who are pastors. In fact, they share the same building and they can't stand the pastor and they share the same building. They share the same building. You know? One church is here, the other church is just, and they can't stand each other. But at least these ones have matured to a level where they are able to put the burdens of other churches persecuted enough on themselves. Now that is beautiful love of all the saints. Now some of us will think that is the ultimate. But then you read the epistles and you see that's nowhere near the ultimate. That is the first proof that you are ready to now begin to take true doctrine. And if that is the case, this is the issue of meekness will not stop. We will need, our hearts will have to remain milk and we will need to keep growing and growing and growing till God gives us grace to truly overcome. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want us to look at John chapter 5 verse 24. And we're going to compare this to John 6, 27. But let's look at John 5, 24 first. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now let's look at John 6, 27. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him had God the Father sealed. One says, if I believe, I have it. The other one says, I have to labor for a kind of meat that endureth unto life everlasting. And he told that lady at the well, there's a kind of water I can give you. If you drink and drink and drink well enough, you will have life everlasting. It tells us that when Paul is beginning to tell us faith, believing, those are actually active words. They are not one-time things. You don't believe and say, I've believed. No. Believing is active. Believing will pull you into that place of laboring for meat unto life everlasting. You see, there is an allocation of meals, meat, that the church must have. The church must eat. If it doesn't eat, the church will not come into life everlasting. The church will just come into. Amen? Let's look at John 6, 27 again. Let's look at it carefully. John 6, 27. Labor not for the meat which perisheth. Instead, I would rather you labor for the meat that endureth unto everlasting life. So there is, you know, when the Bible says faith without works is dead, you need to understand context here. There is a laboring that is not works, as one takes credit for that which faith has brought. And there is also the laboring that shows that you have faith. That's why you are laboring to unto everlasting life. All this coming for meetings, taking time off work, one whole week, day and night, everybody is looking at you like, you don't change church. You live in the morning, I don't see you until 1 a.m. You church 1 year. Mumu abba pastor in sorrow. And your parents are already getting agitated or concerned until they see that there is something different about this child than the other children. Until they see a kind of meekness that they don't see in the others. Until they see the kind of reports that other parents are reporting about their children. Do you know at 11 o'clock he jumped the fence? I didn't see him until 4 a.m. He didn't know I was watching him. Egg by me. she's not going to impregnate somebody's child. I'm not there. And then they are hearing what other parents are saying about their children, and then they are comparing them to children of this house. And they are going, there is something different about these children. You see, that thing you are doing, that labor you are doing of coming and listening for meetings, as if you have nothing to do with your life, is not without an end, though. What did I say? It's not without an end. It has its reward. And they will, God does not, God is not an investment banker that can run out and go, you know, they can go bankrupt. In the West, when you invest in any bank, it doesn't matter how healthy the bank is, they will put there on the list under there, your investment may go up or down. You know, invest with caution. Because they know that every single institution can be brought down by any event. Any institution. Years ago, I started a job at an investment bank. I was as a consultant. I was earning over £500 a day. It was a high-paying job then as a consultant. I started this week. The very next week, my manager called me. He said, I have to let you go as a consultant. He said, as soon as you go out of here, my boss is waiting to call me and let me go too. The company shut down through a credit crunch. Everybody was sacked all the way from, because of Iceland suffered, it was an Icelandic investment bank, and Iceland suffered a heavy, heavy financial crisis. The investment that, if anybody had committed themselves to investing in that company, I feel sorry for them that day. Governments are only allowed to maybe insure a portion of your savings. For example, if you invest in some banks, maybe if the bank goes bust, the government will only give you maybe like maximum 10 grand to 20 grand, depending on what kind of investment it is. So if you have over $1 million gone, all you are getting is £10,000. Because that's the commitment that the government has to you from your personal investments. You understand? Heaven is not like that. If you sow into anything that heaven asks you to sow into, you will get your reward. So if the Lord tells you that there is a meat he wants you to labor for, there is a kind of meat he wants you to labor for, my brother, my sister, drop everything and invest in that one that heaven says you should invest in. Because the heavens, they know what is true worth. Amen? They know what really endures. Amen? They know what really endures. Labor not for the meat which perisheth. It doesn't matter how some of us see, a prosperous person. Maybe somebody brings a new car, and everybody's like, car, Lexus, tutu, tear rubber. Come back in 2-3 years' time. I know that is appreciated. Maybe in Ondo it will last more. Go to Lagos with our portals. That car is in 6 months, you won't recognize the car again. It will have bumps. When Molue and all those bus drivers, Danfos, they hit the car left and right, you won't even recognize the car again. That is meat that perisheth. You build a house. Within days, the paint is looking like, why didn't we use another color? This one doesn't look nice. Look at the way the sand just makes it look so ugly. There is nothing that you want to look for. In fact, there's no certification you have. As soon as you finish doing that certification, there's another certification that is better than the one you just done. I have people that I trained that have more certifications than me today. And I was the one that trained them. You understand? So there's no certification that you have, nothing in this world that you are pursuing that after a while does not have the same relevance, does not have the same. We need to stop chasing shadows. Because that's what they are actually, they are shadows. We need to stop chasing shadows and invest in that which will actually yield things that will endure, life that will endure. You see, if you are able to get life everlasting, if you are able to get life here on earth, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, you will not lose your reward in this age or the next. It's yours. It's yours. It's yours. I think one of the pastors, I can't remember if it was Pastor Dimeji or Pastor something, that was saying that some of us will say, and I think it was Pastor Fisayo, that some of us will say things like, I'm still young. I will commit later. When, after I've finished school and I'm married, maybe at that stage I will commit. I'm still young. I want you to understand that you see the way angels are. The Bible tells us that angels are set so. Eh? They are set so. You see, the heavens is a place for people that are set so. It's the Bible says, while the earth remaineth, see time and have it. The Bible does not say why the heavens remain. It's the earth. You see, the earth is where you sow and reap. It's where life can be, another life can be birthed. This is the place where they birth us. This is where that being born again, this is where it takes place. It's not there. You are not being born again in the heavens. We need to trust God, you know. When the Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, we need to trust God. Some people are in heaven today. They cannot see God. They are not pure in heart. Heaven is managing them. They are there on visa. They are squatting. They are not citizens. Won't manage money. They don't have rights. They're actually refugees. They have a place for them. People that are refugees. It's different from where they put normal settlers. They have hostels. You know? It's different. If you want to be a true citizen of that place, your life needs to come. You and that kingdom need to be one. You have to have the same nature running through you. You need to have that life until it's so part of you that there is no difference between you and the one that they look after. Amen? Amen. So when the Bible tells us, blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God. This is where they purify our hearts. This is where they commit life into us. This is where they give us. And that's why we have all the food here. We have milk. We have meat. We have strong meat. If you eat here and grow here, it will be yours. And no one will be able to take it away from you. This is where you get your placement in the age to come. Whether you shall be angels or cherubs of the age to come, this is where you get your allocation. So stop postponing getting life. Every single day here is an opportunity to receive life. What did I say? Every single day, opportunity to get life. Every single day. Every single day. Every single commandment that comes every single day from the teachings that we're receiving is an opportunity to get life. While the earth remaineth, see time and harvest. That's Genesis 8. While the earth remaineth, see time and harvest. Cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. That's why when they wanted to raise a man that will be made higher than the heavens, they brought him to earth. This is the place they sold that man. They put that seed here. This is where they can raise a man that can be higher than the heavens. It's here on earth. It's not in the heavens. They didn't raise Jesus in the heavens. So where are you running to? Why are you rushing to heavens? For what? This is the place they raise men. This is the place. This earth. Somebody is like, are you a meditator? What am I doing with my life? Nothing is working. You are deceived. The moment you became born again, it was an opportunity to be made a man that is higher than the heavens and the earth. This is the place where you are supposed to be an overcomer. You will not overcome when you go to heaven. This is where they raise overcomers. This is the place they, They commit the things that will bring that overcoming estate to us. Yeah. Take every advantage, take every opportunity while you are here. Don't go and start crying in the age to come. Why do you want to go and be gnashing your teeth in the age to come? Why? Why do you want to be weeping in the age to come? Why? Why do you want to be in outer darkness in the age to come? Why? Why do you want to be exempt? Why do you want to be exempt? Why do you want to have the apostles and his fellows? And then you and... Why? This is the place to be raised. And with meekness and with a heart willing to receive of that which is good, and with that determination to... This is the only thing worth laboring for. If we will do our labor well, oh my God, there's reward for each and every one of us. Amen? Yeah. What did I say? There is reward for each and every one of us. I told our families in London, I think it was in DPM, I said, our parents are growing. You know, I thought my parents have peaked. There's no more. But right before my eyes, I'm seeing my parents still growing. I'm seeing them still childlike. I'm seeing them still meek. I'm seeing them coming with humility and saying, ah, yesterday I taught this. Heaven taught me this again. Ah. And I told them, I said, then why do you want to be, why are you in a hurry for people to be calling you auntie when your parents are still children? You know, some of us want to grow quickly and start claiming respect. Don't look down on me. Do you know how many years I've been in this church? It's not by how many years we've been in this church. Ah. So pastor has ordained, they've ordained some new pastors. Won't you be me? Okay. So, if they don't call you so? That's not what you are here for. What you are here for, there is a kind of labor that you are here to labor. For meat. For understanding. You know, there's a way you can be so desperate to God and God will answer. You can be so desperate, you will cry and God will say, yes, I will answer. Why do you want to remain without understanding and be happy? And then they are teaching, you just say, ah, I want to get, you know, not all of us will understand. You say, like, all of us are supposed to understand these things. We are not all called to be preach pastors. The fivefold I give to the church, help the church, but not all called to be five, I agree. But when it comes to growth and stature and receiving the life or the meat that endures unto everlasting life, all of us have a portion. We're all predestined to have everlasting life. We're all predestined to be overcomers. All of us. All of us. You may not have the charisma of Pastor Dixon. You know, you may not have the eloquence of Pastor Alfred. I understand. But all of us are supposed to understand and labor for understanding until we come into the things that heaven is bringing to us. Amen? Amen. So when our parents start teaching and they tell us 30 minutes and then they spend 2.5 hours, be ready to endure. What did I say? Be ready to endure. Apostle Paul taught until somebody slept off and fell from a window. The guy had into deep sleep. How do you teach until somebody entered deep sleep? That means Apostle Paul was not looking at their face. He didn't care whether they were sleeping. The thing that must be taught must be taught. So when he's saying, don't sleep, he's just encouraging you. He will still teach what heaven wants to bring down because lives must be raised. Those who are speaking, those who are listening, all of us are laboring and we must labor together to receive what heaven wants to bring. We must be engaged. Amen? Let's be determined that which heaven wants to bring, we all come into it. I want us to be determined that next year, by the time we come back, our level of understanding would have increased. Amen. That our spoils from overcoming will be evident. will be evident. Will be evident. You know, Mommy Ellen was talking about doing some commandments with pain. You will not always do them with pain. After a while, you begin to do them with joy. Yes. At that stage, overcoming is already done. Yes. Yes. Greet that person who is younger than you and call him Sama. Ah. And you are uncomfortable. Especially in Nigeria, where people like seniority a lot. We like seniority. A friend of mine brought his children, he brought his children back to Nigeria because he got a big contract on the island in Lekki. All of a sudden, his son walked into the room and said, "Daddy, come and talk to this boy. He doesn't know his mate." Did that? Ah, when did you come? When did you come? You already know mate. And that was a young child. So some of us, that thing, when Bible is bringing meekness, it is going against our nature. It's a serious problem. In fact, some people look at it, you know, EGFM and all our sister churches, and they hate us because we bow. Because they know they can't. Say, look at them bowing. Don't be deceived though, that's their secret. It's a lie. We must all be meek. We must all be determined to receive that which heaven is bringing to us. And we will come into life and more life and more life. You know, I had an encounter one night. I woke up in the morning and Reverend Busui was teaching me in the spirit. I thought there was a tape going on, but it wasn't a tape. It was Reverend Busui that was teaching me in the spirit. Because I thought my wife was listening to Reverend Busui, but it wasn't. It was just Reverend was teaching me. And he was using computer games to explain life in my dream. And he was saying that, you know, in your computer games, when you lose one life, they'll give you another life to continue. He said that this is how this path is, that you will have more and more and more life until we get there. It's like the game is biased biased towards us, giving us more and more and more life until we get there. I woke up and Reverend Busui was the one just teaching me that in my dream as I woke up, you know. And I want us to be determined that we will get this life until we are overcome. Amen. In Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
Amen.
We believe you have been fed by this inspiring ministration from God's servant. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our special meetings? You can join us every Wednesday for the special teaching series by 6 p.m. or on Sundays by 8 a.m. online or on-site at Eternal Life Embassy Assembly around you. For inquiries, call 0704-921-2074 or 0703-395-8818 or visit www.fmeli.org. Remain blessed.